And this is the David who later in another event, he said, "Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God that doth cost me nothing." It's dangerous to want a cheap religion. It's dangerous to want to serve God with the least rather than the most. And we know that our salvation cost God His everything when He gave His Son. And I like this word of Nathan, the prophet, to David. "Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee."
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is the radio ministry of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and we're on the air each day at this time to bring you the message of the gospel. Now, as we come to the end of the year, we're sort of thinking of how we should be setting ourselves to serve the Lord in the new year to come. Soon the midnight hour will strike and we'll be into a brand new year, and we need to prepare our hearts that we may serve the Lord with all our mind, with all our soul, and with all our strength. In 2 Samuel 6, we learned of David's bringing the ark back. Now in 2 Samuel 7, we're going to learn about David building a house for the ark, or at least that was his plan and that was his desire. It didn't materialize in his lifetime, but God took the will for the deed. And that really is the theme of our message today, that the Lord loves willing service. He loves those who even are limited in resources, but have a desire to do all for God that they possibly can. So let's turn to 2 Samuel 7, and we'll read together this passage and this account of David desiring to build a house for God. "And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, Why build ye not an house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be a ruler over my people Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom for ever." So this is the account in 2 Samuel 7 of God's word to David, that while he would not build the temple in his lifetime, but his son Solomon would, and God was preparing the way and opening the way. But that did not deter David, and he gathered material in abundance that he might prepare well for the day when God's house is erected. Every Christian has a responsibility to be good stewards for God. We have a responsibility to use the talents, the gifts, the opportunities we have to serve the Lord with all our hearts. And I hope that there is in your heart today a desire to serve the Lord, to do something for His kingdom's sake. And so we turn today to this message on 2 Samuel 7 from the pulpit of our church here. May the Lord bless you through His word as you listen in today.
You see, discipleship is the Lord's way. We are disciples. We are servants. And wherever you go in the Gospels, you read of those disciples and the need for discipleship. If any man will follow me, let him take up his cross and be my disciple. We read in the epistles where men were to deny themselves and to follow and serve the Lord. And so these are the marks of a godly heart in God's service. I hope they're true in each of us. That humility, that putting God first, then using our opportunities and those times of relative ease that we may say, I want to do something for God. Now then we come to the encouragement of godly hearts that are so needed. Well, the wonderful thing I see in this passage, that David had an advisor. He had a tremendous friend in Nathan the prophet, and he consulted with his godly friend, whom you will notice was in his home. David kept companionship with the godliest man that was around. The man certainly that God used in David's life many times to be a faithful guide and to be a faithful messenger. And the man nearest to God is the one that you want to have for your friend and your guide. The Proverbs tell us that iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And we would say in Canadian parlance that David bounced a few things off Nathan, and he had a talk with him. What do you think of this? And here's Nathan's response. Do all that is within thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. Do you see the encouragement that Nathan gave him? He didn't hold him back and say, oh no, it's not time for that. He wasn't pouring cold water upon him. And another psalm in this instance is, I am a companion of all that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. And so when you do share your ideas and your thoughts and your plans, then you can get some godly counsel from those that would try to encourage you. And sometimes just one's enough. You don't need to go around the whole world and take a poll and do it the democratic way. If you know a brother or a sister walking with God and they know their Bible, and you can go along to them and say, look, I want to just share an idea with you. I think the Lord's leading me in this direction. How would you advise me? And just that heart-to-heart talk, God can use that as a tremendous encouragement. You'll notice also what Nathan said to him, the Lord is with you. Go do all that's within your heart, because God is with you. Now, Nathan certainly knew that. David would never have been in Jerusalem with the Ark of the Covenant in place and all the victories that he won. It was no doubt obvious that God was with him. And what an assurance, what a blessed assurance. The Lord is with us. And in the midst of that assurance, we want to make sure we're doing the right thing. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, Thy will be done. Thy will be done. And as we go to the Lord and plead in prayer, then we have that assurance. Psalm 23 is, of course, the psalm of the shepherd. In pastures green, he leadeth me. Now, Nathan was a prophet to bring God's word. And he was that prophet and messenger to David many times. And so we need to go to the Word of God, the Bible. I don't have a Nathan. Now, I know people called Nathan, but I don't have a prophet that I consult. There is no such thing now as a man who is infallibly moved of God to guide God's people in that prophetic manner as Nathan was. But we do have a Bible. We have the completed revelation of God's Word. And sometimes I need help to understand the Bible. And it's a good thing to be able to go to someone and ask them, am I reading this right? Have I got the right understanding of this Word that I'm pleading and holding on to? Now, the person who knows his Bible will be the best encourager. I think that's usually true. The person who knows his Bible best will be able to give encouragement and say, yes, that is God's way. That's God's Word. And you can bank on it. You can stand on that for the rest of your life, whatever it is. And so you put your trust in the Word of the Lord. As I mentioned, we were studying, it wasn't in-depth studies, we're just gleaning little thoughts and helps from the book of Habakkuk this week. And the book of Habakkuk is a book of questions and answers. And it is the prophet quizzing God on what he's doing and why he's doing it this way. And then God gives the answer. And how often that is the way. Now, the theme of that book is the just shall live by faith. And we don't always get book, chapter, and verse for every minute decision in life. But we learn to trust the statements of God's Word and that God's ways are right and good and just. One of the concerns of Habakkuk was, how can you raise up a heathen, godless army to punish Israel while Israel is a more godly people? It seemed beyond comprehension. And Habakkuk got his answer. Five woes against the Babylonish army after they were done, and God would punish them. Now, when we come to the Bible, God gives us answers. Let's take time in this, because this is so important. As I said, I don't have someone that I can go to who is my infallible guide. Now, I'm thankful that I'm in a denomination where I have colleagues and brethren, and we can discuss things and go over things and seek guidance, that we don't go off on a limb on something. But not one of us claims to be infallible. And we have made mistakes, and I'm sure we'll make more mistakes. But we do desire to do God's will. And the best way to get our answers, of course, is to say, is this biblical? Do you ask that question in your life? We're entering into a new year, decisions to be made. That's the question to ask. Is this biblical? That's the question of the believer who is really trusting in the Lord. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2 here, the book of Philippians chapter 2, and, well, verse 4 and 5, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, that's not a recipe for coveting. It doesn't mean that I should desire what you've got and you desire what I've got, but rather we should be concerned how we may encourage and help. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, the whole passage in Philippians 2 is the humble mind. Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God, took upon him the form of a servant. And we are to seek to have the mind of the Lord. In Colossians chapter 3, we have, of course, that passage, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. This is the help that Christians give Christians. This is how I can be a friend. This is how I can seek godly help by asking people to direct me to God's Word. And then there are those words of the Lord Jesus where he said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will. And that's how the Lord wants us to live, to abide in him. What does it mean to abide in the Lord? It means to be in communion, fellowship, in step, trusting, knowing his will. And if we abide in him and his words abide in us, that means we take his teaching, we use it wisely, then we ask what we will and it shall be done unto us. And so this is the assurance that God gives to his people. And so these are the encouragements that we need. David found that encouragement in Nathan. And I hope that as a church we can be that encouragement one to another. We come to the rewards now, and we go to verse 4. The word of the Lord came unto Nathan. And this emphasis on the rewards, well, first of all, God says, no, I don't want you to build the temple, but I'm going to have Solomon build the temple. And that becomes God's message to him. But God hears the desire, and he hears the request. It came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? First thing I want you to notice, God noted the desire that was in David's heart. He was the silent listener to the conversation in the home of David, conversing with the prophet Nathan. And God was well pleased, no doubt, with the desire that was within Nathan's heart. There was no rebuke here. If you look at verse 5 through 7, we'll go to verse 6, whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but I've walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. You'll see here there's no rebuke for this. God has been well pleased to dwell with his people in a tent. And even though David was in a palace with a sealed dwelling, that means it had all the fancy furnishings and finishings, and it seemed that he was living as a king, and the Ark of the Covenant was in a house of curtains, so temporary, God did not rebuke David for that. God was not upset with that. And so there was no sense of recrimination for any sense of failure, because the time to build the house had not yet come. And it was God's purpose that Solomon would build the house, not David. Now, here comes the rewards. David had it in his heart to build a house for God. What did God do with that godly desire? God said, I'm going to build you a house. I'm going to raise up a house called the House of David. And in these next verses, right down through to where we ended our reading, you have this tremendous revelation, what we will call the covenant of David, where God said to David, I'm going to take you who were the shepherd boy on the hillsides of Bethlehem, and I'm going to make you to be the very father of the line of Christ the Messiah. And this now becomes the revelation to David that I'm going to take your house, not a physical frame, but your family, and through the line of David would come forth the Messiah. Now, this is such a rich and such a tremendously involved passage that I don't want to get into it tonight. I'm reserving it for future studies here on Sunday evenings. But I do want to get into the covenants and the covenant of David. And by the way, David was the last patriarch, if you will, the last one with whom God made a covenant between him and Christ. That's why Jesus is called the Son of David. He's also the son of Abram, of course, of that line. But David was the last identified spiritual leader in the Old Testament who would be of, that the Messiah would come of his loins, of his house, and to be the Savior of the world. Now, we're thinking rewards here tonight. David wanted to build a house for God. God said no, but he took the will for the deed, and he said, I'm going to build you a house. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Let me say to you tonight, it pays to serve the Lord. The desires that we have to serve God, even when we do not fulfill them or fulfill them perfectly, God is well pleased with those desires. And he will bless his people for every attempt to glorify his great name. And there are rewards to the Christian for service. Maybe we don't give that enough attention in our Christian living. Sometimes we're afraid to preach on good works. Well, there are blessings for Christian service and effort to serve God. Because I am in God's family, and because I am in Christ, in covenant with God, God takes the least effort I make, and he's well pleased. It's called storing up treasure in heaven. Some men give their lives, their time, their energy, their zeal, their everything to make money and serve this world. And they exhaust themselves running after the dollar, and they miss the blessing of storing up treasure in heaven. But everything that you do in Jesus' name, right down to a cup of cold water, is recognized and is rewarded. That's the theme of this mighty revelation through Nathan that comes to David. I'd like to just pin all of that on verse 15. Here is God's tremendous statement that he makes to David. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. That forever is Christ and his kingdom, which is an everlasting kingdom. And David now becomes that link to the Messiah, because Jesus is the Son of David. When you are in Christ, everything is mercy. When you are in covenant with Christ through grace, everything is mercy. It's a covenant of mercy. Faith is grace. Love is grace. Joy is grace. Worship is grace. Prayer is grace. Service is grace. Fruit in your life is grace. And rewards are all grace. Not because of my accomplishments, but because I did them for Jesus. I did them for my Savior. And when we realize the tremendous price that was paid on the cross to redeem us and save us, to make us children of God, then, as David said later, that he will not offer a sacrifice that cost him nothing. A true Christian doesn't want cheap religion. A true Christian wants opportunities to serve. As David, that was the desire of his heart. So we'll leave it there tonight. And next week, Lord willing, we'll come back to these covenants. Pray that the Lord opens up this chapter. It's one of the pivotal chapters in the Old Testament. And we need to give it a very special treatment in our study in the life of David. Thank you again for listening today. This is December 31, 2024, and this is my final program here on this station. It's been 40 years. Yes, it was September 1984 that I first took to the microphone to air programs for this station. Those were days of
tape recordings and mailing. Everything had to be done way in advance, or I had to drive to the station with the messages on cassettes. The Lord has been good and gracious in allowing me these years to preach the gospel on this station. So many people have been my encouragers through prayer, through phone calls, letters, and emails. So many have also donated for the purchase of airtime. Above all, I believe so many have heard the gospel and been pointed to the Savior, the Redeemer of His people. Our motto has been the gospel, the whole gospel, and nothing but the gospel. Our message is the person and redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to me, He is more precious and more worthy than ever before. It is true that every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. In January, Reverend Andrew Fitton, the new pastor of our church in Cloverdale, will be bringing you the gospel. May you also encourage him, and if possible, visit the church to hear the good news of the gospel in person. There's nothing like being there to hear the word for yourself. So please join with me in prayer as I commit each hearer to the Lord and each one that has heard the gospel, that they may be brought to personal saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust that God will bless you, bless your home, bless your family, and bless you through God's Word. And as you listen on to these radio programs, as the Word of God is preached, let's unite in prayer. Father, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank Thee today for the gospel itself, that great eternal plan that was born in your heart to send your Son to save your people, to gather out from the nations a mighty multitude which no man could number, whom you would save for all eternity and redeem them by the sacrificial death of our Lord Jesus upon the cross. Father, we thank Thee today for Calvary. We thank Thee that our Lord Jesus became a curse for us, that we would know no curse. And I pray that you will cause that very view of the dying Savior to fill the hearts and minds of men and women today. And by your Spirit, create faith in the Lord Jesus, in His sinless life, in His atoning death, in His precious blood, and that sinners may look and be saved. Lord, you have promised, "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved." And we pray that men and women will be brought out of darkness and sin into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Bless every home. Thank you for those who have been my encouragers. Thank you for those who have been my helpers in various ways. And even those who have given sacrificially for the purchase of airtime on this station. Bless them for it, and grant, Lord, that this ministry will go on and on for many years to come, so that sinners will hear the gospel, that men and women who are out of Christ will be brought into the union with the Son of God by the work of the Spirit. We pray that you will bless children that are growing up, that they might know the Lord, and that you will have great mercy upon them. I also pray for the congregation and for the new pastor, Reverend Andrew Fitton, that you will mightily bless his work, his ministry, and his voice on this station in the days to come. And so, Lord, we close with our praises unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, be glory and dominion and praise forever and ever. Amen.